fight with me.
I respect that. I tell it like it is.
Joe, Catanacci.
24 minutes in front of the hour, final half hour of the show. Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center joins us, as he does every Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. Where in the world is Yael this morning? And I say that because the last two conversations we've had over consecutive weeks, he was in Charlotte 2 weeks ago, Columbia, just north of Columbia, South Carolina, last week. And Yael, where can we're taking this thing global here this morning?
Yeah, it seems I'm in Vienna, and the fight for consumer choice is global, so I'm anywhere and everywhere I need to be, Joe.
Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center with us here this morning. I got to ask you a question before I get it and poke around as to some of the news stories and topics that piqued your interest this week. So tell me about your trip to the hairstylist this week.
Yeah, I think thanks so much for picking up on that, Joe. Basically, I had a very good conversation. I think one of the great things about our barbershops and hairstylist shops is that we actually get to converse with people we normally wouldn't. And you and I are in media, political circles, talking a lot about this stuff day in and day out, but most Americans are not. So it was a good opportunity to share some ideas, and we had a pretty good conversation about Democratic debates and about the candidates that had put their names forward and some of their ideas. And, you know, it seems to be a big trend amongst millennials to like the Bernie Sanders type model, the democratic socialism. And after hearing a couple of consecutive minutes about skepticism of how the police are treating minorities in the streets and how government legislation has been very bad for people who want to get credit, the question that I sort of pose at the very end is, well, if you're skeptical of power and institutions and government when it comes to policing, when it comes to the banks, when it comes to all these things you think they do wrong, why is giving them more power via a presidency a la Bernie Sanders, why is that going to be a good thing? To which I was met with a very puzzled gaze. And then the reply, you know, that really gives me something to think about.
Now, well, and I would say that, you know, we talk about any issue, and why would we rely on government when we can get more choices, more freedoms, and then what in turn is created because of that, often, you know, a higher quality product at a cheaper price. And that is what you do on the Consumer Choice Center, is present that argument to people. And I caught another kind of back and forth through campus reform this week, laying out, you know, there's been a lot of conversation surrounding illegal immigration, of course, in our country, and well, all around the world as well, immigration and you know, refugees being relocated here, there, and pretty much all over the world. And basically, what the Campus Reform reporter did was read some quotes that were presented by President Obama a couple of years back that were, you know, fairly critical of the way in which we approach illegal immigration here, and then, you know, kind of along the same lines in the way in which our current president addresses illegal immigration. He read those quotes, asked first, of course, prefaced the question or the quote by saying, you know, how do you feel about the issue with our border? And all of these buzzwords popped up, you know, white nationalist, this, that, and the other thing on a college campus. And then he said, and then he read the quote. He said, you know who that quote was from? They all say, of course, President Trump. Well, in fact, it was from President Obama. And it kind of had that all struck. Is it just naivete or just a lack of information and access to the knowledge that may go outside of their box? Is that what you kind of, you know, that's what you... just people kind of hang with their own cliques, hear what they want to hear, and they don't necessarily, especially for younger people, they don't look or take the time to see the other side of the argument or the other side of the issue?
I think, you know, and you bring up some very good points, and if I could use some analogies, I mean, you're a sports broadcaster as well. I think people like to be on Team A or Team B, and they like to know that their team is winning, and will basically attach themselves to whichever team might be in power at particular moment, and it becomes a kind of blood sport, which is really what's bad about this. And it really should be about the ideas and what the policies are going to be so that we can all be better off. So I know that the Overton window on immigration has changed a lot, meaning the conversation has changed a lot in the last couple of years of what's acceptable and not acceptable. If, you know, I have to wade in pretty careful waters myself as someone who's been an immigrant twice, and I understand the complexities of the system. At the same time, I know that, you know, this is something that people care about. And, you know, some people in their communities, they don't see the level of immigration that they see, let's say, at the Mexican border, but they do see very successful immigrants who are integrating, creating businesses. They see that as well. So I think it's more of just a my team is now winning and this is what we're going to say. And, you know, your team is not winning. And really, there's always a cycle to this. It's always going to change in terms of the rhetoric on immigration. I think President Trump has changed a lot in terms of how people talk about it. But really, if people can get back to the ideas and the basics and really say, look, what do we want from our immigration system? What do we want from our federal government? If people can ask that question, I think we can arrive at a much better conclusion than, you know, what did my team say versus your team? Because at the end of the day, most people are not in these camps. Most people are not diehard liberals or diehard conservatives. Most people are right in the middle. And I think it takes good ideas to convince people to come onto a particular side or to follow a particular policy. And I think everyone has it within them to do that. As long as we, you know, stop playing football on the sidelines and trying to get the ball back on whatever team, whatever side it is, I think we can really arrive at that conclusion.
The Consumer Choice Center is the global grassroots movement for consumer choice. ConsumerChoiceCenter.org is their website. Yael Osowski is with us here this morning. Yael, as we kind of, you know, oftentimes we'll touch base throughout the week. We did not do that this week, so I want to get your, your thoughts on just some of the stories. You know, you often in the Consumer Choice Center and through your role there, you know, you're often talking about stories that you know, are not being discussed as we do here with you necessarily in the mainstream all day, every day, like we see on the cable news networks, because frankly, you and I could care less about what the president tweeted today in most cases until he starts a nuclear holocaust, then nuclear war, then maybe we might start getting interested in something like that. But by and large, we stick to issues that pique our interest or through the jobs that we both have. So what kind of has been on the docket for you that you've been following here this week?
I think, and one thing that was really informed by my trip and what I was able to see is the entire idea of upzoning. To give your listeners an idea of what upzoning is, there are in many of our local communities very strict zoning laws that require that X piece of land be for only residential or Y piece of land be only for commercial. And this is a point that's not brought up in the conversations on affordable housing. This has been huge in Mecklenburg County, in Charlotte, in Raleigh, Wake County. People are moving to North Carolina in droves, and this is happening all over the country. And really, the response that some of the more responsible people say is, well, you know, let's build more, let's figure out where we can actually put up nice apartment buildings or where people can live. The other kind of response is, well, we need affordable housing, meaning we need to tax existing property owners or people who are already living somewhere so that we can then create a fund to therefore buy apartments or make rent cheaper for various people. And I think that's what's being lost in this, is there is a response when it comes to the housing affordability issues. We have to look at upzoning, the idea that you're not going to have all this piece of land that only one type of building can be built on. The state of Oregon just passed something a couple of weeks ago where they banned all zoning that was just for single family houses. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you're in whatever community in Oregon, there cannot be a law saying that on this entire tract of land, we will only allow single family homes, which I think is a very interesting experiment. And we're going to see how it works. And I think it's something that's really needed in places like Charlotte, like Raleigh, and places like Asheville, where there's all these people that are wanting to move there who are trying to contribute to the economy, and we don't necessarily have existing housing for a lot of them. So I think upzoning and this idea that we can allow multi-use, if anyone has been near the Charlotte area, Lake Norman, they've been to Burkdale Village, I think that's a great example. You have shops and restaurants on the bottom, and on the very top, you have apartments where people are living. And to create more of these kind of mixed-use communities is great. You get a nice little millennial urbanite like me who likes to hop between shops and walk from my Starbucks to another Starbucks or to visit friends. I'm able to do that in one community rather than having to get in the car and drive for miles and miles. There's something that's really interesting there, and this is really at the city and county level that a lot of this stuff is happening, and it's happening at the same time that you have arguments about the sharing economy, Airbnb, whether you can rent out your property. If we just allow property owners to build what they want, as long as it's within the realm of what is acceptable in a community, I say all the better. I think that's going to lower the prices for rent and for housing, And I think a lot of us will be better off. So that's one thing I definitely was able to research and look at when I was back in North Carolina. And I got to say, it's really exciting.
Yeah, we see it even here in the Wilmington area with a ton of growth. Now, the economy, not necessarily as far as the workforce and the jobs may not be what we need them to be to attract younger people. We've got the reverse of that. Many retired folks or many folks trying to relocate here to the coast. And even those who are living and working here now are public our first responders. Other folks that are in need of those affordable houses, and to address that, it's kind of like we're going back in time. I mean, before the strip malls exploded all across the country, and people started to leave those downtown type of districts like we have here to get more suburban life. We're kind of reverting back to what life was like maybe in the 60s and 70s in a place like downtown Wilmington, where it was the central hub where people lived, where many worked, and where many shopped and ate on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and that's something that I think people, consumers especially, want more and more. And you see a lot of this around the D.C. area where I was as well. It's just mixed-use communities. You know, you have people who live or have apartments, and they're able to walk to the store. They're able to, just take a five-minute saunter, go downtown and buy their things. And most people do not know that you can't do that in many communities because of existing zoning regulations that don't allow you to do that. So I think there's a good movement there afoot called the YIMBY movement. Yes, in my backyard. Most times it's not in my backyard, yeah, whether it be with wind farms or something else. But we say, yes, in my backyard, YIMBY.
ConsumerChoiceCenter.org is the website of the Global Grassroots Movement for Consumer Choice. Yael Osowski in Vienna, Austria this morning calling into the program. He's about 6 hours ahead of us, approaching siesta time, I guess, or maybe some dinner time in just a little while. Yael, thanks as always for your feedback and perspective.
Thanks so much, Joe. Have a great weekend.
ConsumerChoiceCenter.org. We've talked to him in North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington, D.C., and today in Vienna, Austria. Great conversation with Yael Osowski of the Consumer Choice Center.